Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every week, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. Also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network to the program. Darren, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, Robbie. I guess that's one way to try to slow down a winning streak, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Just postpone some games.
Just apparently not going to play tomorrow. Calgary running into some big COVID issues, and we were talking about this earlier. That seems to be becoming more and more of a problem as we get into the colder months here of COVID becoming quite a menace again in the world of sports.
Yep. Just when we think we're out of the woods, we're reminded we're not out of the woods, so.
We are definitely not. How about those Nashville Predators? Winners of five in a row. They sweep the four-game road trip. What do you like about the way they're playing? And by the way, doing it without Matt Duchene for a couple and without Ryan Johansson last night as well. So you're losing people in the lineup and still finding ways to win games. What has that told you about this group?
Isn't this team fun to watch?
Yeah, they are.
I like this team. I do. I just like the way they're constructed. I like the way that they go out there. And they work hard. They're like a, you know, they're a team the fans can embrace, right? Because most people out there that go to their games, most people out there that root for this team are hardworking people, right? They understand hard work. And that's exactly what you get in this Predators team. I was guilty of calling this team a good while back before David Poile reconstructed it as a team that was baby poop soft. It just was. I mean, it's not trying to be mean. It's just being, you know, just stating a fact. The team was soft, and they didn't push back, and they got pushed around, and we saw it all too much and too many times. Yes, they had high skill level, but, you know, we find out, once you especially get to the playoffs, you can't be baby poop soft. And quite honestly, the Rangers team that they beat last night, that's been the knock on them for the last several years, and they've tried to address that and kind of toughen up their roster. Obviously, they haven't gotten it to the level that the Predators have, but they got a little bit more pushback than they did a couple of years ago. But this team is just fun, man. They work hard, and they don't take any crap. And I love it. That's my kind of team. That's what I'm looking for. And this team leads the league in fighting majors. Not that that's that big of a deal, but this team is, you know, not afraid to go to the penalty box to stick up for their teammates. They'll kill it off. Okay, that's fine. This team isn't scared of close games. How about this stat? They're 10-2-1 this season in one-goal games. That means this team is not afraid to play close games and figure out a way to win. And that's what they're doing. I mean, look, Robbie, if you're asking me, did I think last night was going to be a huge challenge? The answer was absolutely yes. I thought this was going to be a huge challenge. The Rangers had won 8 of 9. They're off to their best start in franchise history. They've been very good at home at Madison Square Garden. The Predators are wrapping up a four-game road trip. Now we've learned there's no Ryan Johansson because of COVID. There's no Matt Duchene. Colton Sissons was out Friday. Didn't know what his status was. He did jump back in the lineup. Michael McCarron, who must absolutely know how long it takes to get from Milwaukee to wherever. I mean, that guy has just been called, recalled, sent back, recalled, sent back, recalled, sent back. I've lost track.
He's like Tom Hanks in The Terminal.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, they just – and then it doesn't matter who they trot out there. They're putting Matt Luff out there, Michael McCarron in the lineup. And it just doesn't matter. This team finds a way to get it done. And, wow, what a performance by UC Saros and them last night to get a goal early in the second period. I mean, less than 2 minutes in, and that hold up for a 1-0 victory.
Yeah, that was a special performance by Saros, man. For that third period, that power play, boy, we'll see something else. So Darren, I want to take it to a bigger picture then. I mean, right now the Preds are 17-10-1, 35 points, tied with the Blues for second in the Central. Given what we've seen from them through 28 games, but also the rest of the Central Division, where do you think they stand in the division? What do you think is realistic for them?
Have you been talking to Ian Safar? Were you listening in on our conversation last night during breaks in postgame? That's literally, Joe, our conversation. That it's a great question, right? Because I don't know the answer. I think it's a fantastic question. Like, is this what they are? And this is what I threw back at Ian. I go, is this what this team is? Or is this just a really nice stretch that they're in, right? A really, really good patch that they're in. I don't know. It's a great question. Is Minnesota what they are? Is this what Minnesota is? I mean, I have a hard time believing that Minnesota can sustain this, but if I'm willing to doubt them, then, you know, who am I to doubt them and say, oh, but this is what the Predators are? I don't know. I don't believe that's what St. Louis is. To me, St. Louis, I don't think they can sustain this, but I don't know. I mean, obviously they have done better than all of us thought they were going to be through 28 games. I mean, like you said, they have 35 points. They're second, tied for second in the division. I mean, they're right there close. I mean, a good week this week, they could be leading the Western Conference. I mean, of course none of us thought that was the case. But the real question is, okay, it's still a small sample when you think about 82 games. It's only 28, but it is a fair question to say, now wait a minute, is this just what this team is? Is this team just going to be way better than anybody predicted? I don't know. I just said it. I love the way they play. It's hard to play that way for 82 games. It's hard to do that night in and night out. And this is like really the first time they've really been challenged with, you know, they're not getting hit with roster moves like the Titans. Now, they have last year, but for the most part this year, they've been pretty fortunate, right? Everybody's been available till here on this road trip for the most part. I know Forsberg missed 9 games, but I'm talking about overall. I mean, last year you couldn't even keep up with the lineup from game to game. I mean, literally, we would go into pregame going, I'm not sure who's in, who's out. You know, there's no morning skates anymore. It's like we didn't have a clue. So this year's been much more manageable. What happens if they get hit with that again? You know, things start happening to them where bodies, you know, they lose bodies for, you know, a significant amount of time, or 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 games. I don't know. But right now, they're obviously way better than anybody thought. And the way they're playing right now, if they show up to the rink playing their style, they're just really, really hard to beat because they'll sacrifice their body and block shots. They're going to hit you all night long. And there's a lot of teams that don't want to sign up for that.
It's a great question about whether or not this is what the Predators are going to be as we move forward here. I feel confident in saying this in the Central Division. The Arizona Coyotes are absolutely this. This is what they are.
They're the Jags.
They are the Jags. 5-20-2. And speaking of the Jags, what did you think of that game yesterday for the Titans, a 20-0 win? And what do you think of the Urban Meyer situation in Jacksonville? Do you think he might get fired in year one down there with the Jags?
What a hot mess, isn't it?
My goodness.
Man, what a dumpster fire. Couldn't happen to a better dude than Urban Meyer. Oh, my gosh. These reports. Am I surprised? No. You know, I would have said, Robbie, they're not going to bounce after a year, but I don't know. It's a mess. We had Tony Smith on from down in Jacksonville, 1010 XL, and boy, the picture he painted on Friday's show, yikes. I mean, yikes. I mean, players getting in, Urban Meyer's, you know, getting into verbal confrontations with players, his assistant coaches, and all the stuff that's out there. And oh, by the way, he's not a likable dude. And you can get away with it when you keep winning, but you're not likable and you're losing and you're not even competitive and you're really bad. That's a bad combination. I don't know. They've not had a quick hook in the past, but I don't know. This thing's a hot mess. I wouldn't be surprised because that team is done. I mean, the Titans have the two worst teams in football in their division, do they not?
I think you can make a really good case that they do. Although, shout out to my guy Davis Mills at quarterback for the Texans.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but the Texans are awful. And I know Joe's going to say, well, don't forget about the Lions.
Don't disrespect the Lions.
At least they fight. At least they, you know, the Jags and the Texans, I mean, I think they're thinking about, well, what am I doing the minute the season is over? They're like figuring out their offseason. They just don't look like a team that's that interested anymore. Either one of them.
I'm actually going to argue with you, Darren. The Jags are horrific. I thought they played their butts off yesterday. I mean, they have nothing on offense. Their defense, I thought, played their butts off, and there was a lot of comments to that effect by the Titans afterwards. I mean, they hit Tannehill 10 times and many times hard and sacked him 4 times and kept the Titans to 3 points off 4 of their terrible turnovers. So I actually – now, I'm not necessarily crediting Urban Meyer for that, but I think they're trying. They're just horrific. But I want to flip that around because we've talked a lot about pass protection today, which to me is the concern moving forward for this offense to be competent enough against better teams. What's your concern level there? What's your feeling on just how the Titans played yesterday?
Well, I mean, the concern is, I mean, we're a little too far in to be thinking this can be fixed, right? I mean, this is kind of what they are, I would think. I hope it can be fixed, but I mean, they're 13 games in. I mean, they're giving up the most sacks in the league. I mean, is that going to change? I don't know. I hope so, but I don't see it. I don't know how that's going to change to me. That's just going to be something they're going to have to work around. Yeah, I mean, to your point first on the Jacksonville part, I wouldn't say that they've quit. I watched the Texans team that last, like, the last 3 weeks. That team, it does not look like they're interested in playing anymore. They do not seem interested, and I realize they're not talented either, but you're right. I mean, the Jacksonville team, 8 yards rushing. My goodness. Can you get any more inept? Think about, what was it, week 5? These two teams played each other. Didn't Robinson go for like 130
in that game? 148. 148 of their 198.
Yeah, they rushed for 200 yards. They rushed for 8 yards? Yikes. As for the Titans, what did I think overall? I think that they're still, you know, they still need some important bodies back, especially on defense. I mean, they could use David Long and Bud Dupree. We know that. Julio Jones, they need A.J. Brown back. I mean, I think it's still going to be tough. I mean, next week is going to be tough. Pittsburgh is going to be really, really mad. They got embarrassed. I know they came back and made it a game, but they were losing, what was it, 29-0?
Yep.
To Minnesota. I mean, it was embarrassing. Now, they came back and made it a one-score game, but, you know, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, and they are certainly flirting with that, and another loss is going to put that in real jeopardy. It's in Pittsburgh. I don't know. This one's going to be tough. Joe, I think this is what they have to do. I mean, I said it all last week. I was like, they've got to. There's no, you know, any given Sunday, oh, we saw them lose to the Jets and the Texans. We get not this week. Like, you have to beat the Jags. But I also said, I'm not saying that they have to do it in exciting fashion as in a blowout and a snoozer, because I'm not sure with all the bodies out if they're even capable of that. Right now, they've just got to hold on and hang on and hope that these reports are true, right? And the Keen is coming back.
Yeah.
The Savior is coming back.
That's right.
I mean, you just got to hope those reports are true. I mean, obviously they know more than we do, but gosh, I mean, if they get him back, even if it's not in the regular season, if they just get him back for the playoffs, I mean, that it's a new ball game, because it looks like, you know, the Chiefs are back and the AFC is starting to get a lot better. So they're going to need him back, but I think this is just what they are. I think they're in just hang in there mode and just try to find a way to win the division and make sure that you're in, and then worry about the rest.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Darren, great stuff, brother. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and looking forward to the show coming up at 10.
Thank you, guys. Always appreciate it.
Absolutely. Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back, react a little bit to what Darren had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Preds and the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, I mean, I've not looked this up for confirmation, but that's got to be the first time in history that they both had a shutout on the same day, right?
Preds and someone, yes, yeah, someone, and it may have been Alex Doherty, tweeted that is, in fact, the case.
It's got to be.
And, yeah, right. I mean, the Titans did have one at New York, right, 3 years ago. But, yeah, you're not going to see that too often.
Some goose eggs yesterday. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Interesting day in the NFL yesterday. The Titans get the win against the Jags. They improve to 9-4, right now number 2 in the AFC. The Ravens fall. Lamar Jackson goes down with an ankle sprain against the Browns. The Browns hold on to win that game. The Chiefs absolutely annihilate the Raiders yesterday, 48-9, the final score. The Raiders fumbled the ball on like their first play of the game and gave up a touchdown, and it was all pretty much over from there. Interesting day yesterday, and now the Titans sit here at 9-4. You got to be still, even though there's a lot to nitpick about yesterday's performance offensively. You're still in a really good spot if you're the Titans after that win yesterday.
Yeah, you know, real nice job by the Raiders to gather, you know, on like the Chiefs logo before the game.
Yeah, that worked
then
that well.
Come right out and start, you know, start dribbling all over themselves. Wild day again. And, you know, especially with the AFC, it's just like, it's just week to week again, you know. Who's good? Who's going to be in the playoffs? Look, the Bills, I think you got to give them a lot of credit. Down 27-10. I thought they were going to steal that game at Tampa Bay. And as it turns out, they, you know, get smoked on a couple plays in an overtime after going 3-and-out, getting the ball first, and losing to Tom Brady and company. But good fight. But now they're sitting there, you know, at 7-6. It's amazing to me to think, and I know they have their flaws. Their defense just isn't playing like it was early in the season. And not only that, you know, they don't even pretend to try to run the football, but it's still amazing to me to think that we could have an AFC playoff of the Bills. Right now they're in the 7, but they're 7-6. The Browns are 7-6. The Bengals are 7-6. The Broncos are 7-6. The Steelers are 6-6-1. It's just going to be a wild ride to the finish starting Thursday, by the way. I mean, Chargers Chiefs is a, that's a big deal. Chargers get the sweep there and pull into a tie. Now they're in position to win that division with a sweep. Also, I think the rest of the AFC would probably very much appreciate that because the Chiefs are looking scary.
Yeah, yes, they are. They look pretty good right now. And Buffalo yesterday just said, you know what? Our running game is Josh Allen. 12 carries, 109 yards for Josh Allen on the ground yesterday, 308 through the air. And then they got Pharaoh'd in overtime.
Well, I mean, yes. He threw a 5-yard pass. It was carried 60 yards of the end zone. But, yeah, hey, he made plays.
Your hatred for Tom Brady continues to be outstanding.
It's not hatred. It's not hatred. I just, you know. I don't know. I guess the Pharaoh had to go into his tomb for a while when 27-10 turned to 27-27.
Had to recharge a little bit.
Yeah. Had to get rewrapped. Hey, that's big for the Bucks. And so, and by the way, if you want to flip conferences real quick, Bucks, Packers vying for that one. And then of course, huge one tonight, Cards, Rams.
Really
MVP
need the Rams
race
to win that game.
Implications. Yep. And if the Rams can win it, then, that's going to be a heck of a race for the one in that, on that side.
I think the MVP race right now too, in the NFL, it looks like it's squaring in on a couple of guys. Looks like it could be Brady Rodgers.
But what if Kyler goes nuts tonight and they win and they, you know what I mean, if they get the one and then he's great the rest of the way?
I mean, maybe, but he's missed 3 games at this point.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting because I agree, like that's got to cost you some. And obviously those other two guys are having ridiculous seasons, but I don't know. He would have to be exceptional the rest of the way. Probably also, not lose again.
Also, don't look now. Mahomes pretty good yesterday too. 20 of 24, 258, 2 touchdowns. Like I don't know if he's going to get an MVP legit race with those two. Just based on he's had like 4 or 5 games this year where it's just been like ugh, not great. Yeah. But looked pretty good yesterday.
He did. But yeah, I don't think, and I think with Mahomes, he set the standard. It's kind of like Brady. Like, he set the standard where he's only going to get it if he has this outrageous season now, you know, like way beyond everybody else. But you got the Pats as the one, Titans two, Chiefs three, Ravens are still the four. That would be the Bengals, but they blew it against the Niners, man. They had that. I thought they were going in for the winning touchdown in overtime, and turns out Nick Bosa is pretty good.
So let me ask you this. If you're a Titans fan, who are you rooting for next week with Patriots-Colts? Colts are at 7-6. Right now they're the sixth seed in the AFC. I mean, they're still technically two games behind you in the division, which is really three at this point. So, you know, I think a lot of Titans fans are going to be rooting for the Colts on Sunday against the Patriots. Where do you come down on that?
That's a good question. I think if you feel good about winning in Pittsburgh, then root for the Colts. Now, of course, if the Colts lose to the Patriots and the Titans win, that's it. The AFC South is over. The magic number is two.
Yep.
So that combination of things can give you the division. But to your point, you know, if you feel good about winning in Pittsburgh, then the Colts beating the Patriots, knocking them down to five, now you're in position to reclaim the one seed in the AFC with three games to play. So I think the rooting, you know, the rooting interest is how, if you feel like the Titans can actually do this, and I'm telling you, I know the Steelers are very okay. Titans could win this game, but the Titans have to play a lot better. And I've absolutely right now, I've seen enough of the Niners, and knowing their situation, their physicality, the way Garoppolo's playing, the way that defense is getting after quarterbacks, it's gonna be a tough one on that Thursday night, December 23rd. So the point is, Darren said, like, get the one, you know, get the division, get a home game, and you're fine. That's probably the best case. But if you think the Titans can actually go on a tear here and get the one, then root for the Colts.
By the way, that game coming up on Saturday night, nice Saturday night primetime game between the Patriots and the Colts this week as well. So make sure you keep that in mind. We'll come back, get into a big story over the weekend for the Titans regarding Mike Vrabel. Getting a little upset at his Friday press conference. What did we think of that, and what does that tell you about the Zach Cunningham situation as well as we move forward here? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Joe Rex Road, it was quite the interesting weekend for the Titans. Obviously, you get the job done yesterday against Jacksonville with a shutout performance, improved to 9-4. But the story heading into the weekend was Mike Vrabel and his press conference on Friday, which did not last very long. Multiple questions about Zach Cunningham, the newest acquisition for the Titans, and Vrabel was not having it on Friday. Here was that back and forth between Vrabel and our friends in the media on Friday at his press conference get-together before the Titans took on the Jaguars.
We're excited to add him to our football team. We'll talk about more about Zach next week. He won't be active for the football game.
When he start practicing?
We'll talk about him next week. He won't be active for the game.
From the three that you had designated for return.
Yeah, you know, and again, if we talked about the technology to be able to use that to track their speeds prior to, you know, them being on injured reserve, and I think it helps us to have some confidence, but I think especially it helps the players so that they can see and say, okay, you know, this is where I got to, and, you know, it's good feedback, and then we can evaluate how they feel. So, you know, we have some time till tomorrow to make some decisions, but you know, those guys all, you know, worked hard to get back there and be able to start to practice, and you know, we're able to put some days together.
Can you just talk about Cunningham's skill set a little bit and what, you know, what the reason was?
This is ridiculous. Right.
So that was Vrabel at his press conference on
Why'd you cut it off right there?
I didn't cut it off. That's when you listened on the press conference, you couldn't hear him, like when he left, you know?
Well, there was some, well, I'll fill in the blanks. There were some F-bombs.
Yes. Yes, there was. Flying out.
I think it was effing ridiculous, waste my effing time, something like that. By the way, I wasn't there, so I missed also that, and I actually heard the audio yesterday of Kaharsky with Vrabel going inside. Then Kaharsky's like, "Oh, that wasn't an overreaction," which is just absolute classic. Like Kaharsky, Glennon, man, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon teaming up. Better watch out.
That's right. So obviously that generated a lot of reaction over the weekend. Vrabel walking out of the press conference on Friday, and look, there was the back and forth on Twitter, like there always is, of the really big Titans fans of, yeah, Vrabel giving it to the media, and the media saying, oh, I was ridiculous for Vrabel to walk out like that. Number one, I found it to be pretty entertaining, so I enjoyed that part of it at the expense of our good friend John Glennon. I had no problem with the question. There is the question that's been posed on the text line and all over social media, though, of the, after he's already said twice he's not talking about Cunningham, should they have been asked about it a third time? What are your thoughts on that, Rex Road?
Well, you, as you might expect, I'm gonna side with media here. So I understand that he said that, but so this is one of those things that, like, if you're Mike Vrabel, you got to know, first of all, that's going to be asked. I mean, if there's some thing where, like, there's a rule, like, this is Friday, we only talk about the game. Like, you can't ask about other things. There's been other things. At various press conferences, there can be other things that come up. But let's face it, that was a huge move Thursday. That was big news across the league. It was big news here. And this is now the coach available for the first time to talk about it. Don't expect the whole press conference to be about it. But for Vrabel to think, like, we're not going to talk about Zach Cunningham. It's the game Sunday. Let's talk about the game. I mean, that's just not realistic. And to me, all you have to do, I mean, I from Glennon's perspective, Glennon is writing a story about Zach Cunningham. He needs commentary from Vrabel on what Cunningham brings. He doesn't expect that he's going to get, like, the full breakdown of where he's going to play and when he's going to be in the lineup and all that stuff, but just a comment on what Zach Cunningham is as a player. And of course, Vrabel knows very well because he coached him in Houston. I mean, to me, all you do is you start off by just answering the question and saying, yeah, here's what I think of Zach. There you go. He's not playing this week. Move forward. Next question. There's a quote for Glennon to use in a story, or whoever else there may have been writing a story about Cunningham using a Vrabel quote, and then you move on. Like, to me, to be the way he was about it is just, I have a problem with it, you know? Now, did I find it entertaining like you did? Yes, absolutely. It's not a big deal. And Vrabel joked about it yesterday.
Yes.
When Glennon asked him a question at the end of the presser, you know, he made a joke about, you know, oh, I'm not going to talk to you. Well, I didn't hear exactly what he said, but he joked about it. It's not a big deal. Yes. The annoying thing is then you get on Twitter and you get the fans, and I swear it's a lot of the same people. You know it. You know who you are. A lot of the same people, like, don't you dare. He said, don't ask again. How dare you ask him that question? And then the same person, like, you better ask Vrabel the tough questions after that loss. I don't want to hear any soft journalism. You know?
Hold his feet to the fire. Yeah. Pick up his feet in your hand and put it next to the fire.
So I can't, but you know, it's a variety of reactions. I can't read all of Liam's text here from earlier in the show, but he did send three long ones. I'll read some segments real quick on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Good morning, guys. Why is Vrabel the way he is at press conferences? I have several problems with it. You guys, the media, are just doing your jobs, trying to get stuff to write about to entertain us fans. When he's rude to you guys, he's also being rude to us. For example, we're all excited about Zach Cunningham, what he could potentially do for the team. But instead of a little indulgence, even just a few sentences of coach speak, he acts like a kid in a dental chair about to get a tooth pulled and then storms out. I know he appreciates where he is in life. I just wish he would show it and remember that even though there's a ton of money at stake, in the end, this is all just for fun. And he goes on and on about it. Acting like a petulant bully isn't going to stop questions that fans would like answered because you guys are there for us fans, not for him. End quote. Anyway, so, I mean, you know, look, frankly, I mean, I think that Vrabel doesn't love the media stuff, right? We know this. And I think he likes to have certain, like, okay, today, this is the day to talk about yesterday's game. Right, Vrabel's gonna have a presser today. Today's the day that will be to talk about yesterday's game. Fine. So if you ask something spinning forward today, he may not want to get much into it. If you ask him about Sunday's game Wednesday, then he's gonna be like, we're moving forward. And I get that overall, but like, I don't think it should be that rigid, you know? And again, especially this is a special case with a guy who is a big, big pickup. And he knew he was gonna get questions about it. So I know a lot of people, Gentry S just tweeted about this, and I kind of thought along the same lines. Like, his reaction that day made it seem like something else was bothering him.
Yep.
You know, that's what I said yesterday before the game. I'm like, well, if they lose today, then we know. Vrabel knew they were going to lose today, and that's why he acted the way he did. But in general, just give a quote and end it, because what happens here? This becomes a huge thing. We are spending a segment on it. It's all over the internet. I don't know if Vrabel doesn't give a crap when it comes down to it, but still, like, why even go there?
I was really hoping that the first question at the press conference yesterday would be about Zach Cunningham. I actually tweeted Glennon about this yesterday and said, forget the game. This game has been awful to watch. It's boring. Ask about Zach Cunningham. But it didn't happen.
Well, had they lost, the only question that could have been asked was, Mike, do you think Zach Cunningham would have made a difference today?
In all seriousness.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Okay, I'll go ahead. Before the game, I was like, guys, let's all have an agreement. This is a John Glennon only presser. Yes. Only Glennon will be asking the question. That's right. Didn't work out that way.
In all seriousness, I'm interested to see, and I know Corey Curtis brought up earlier, look, just get me some healthy guys out there, and I totally understand that. But assuming that Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown can stay healthy, and that David Long Jr. and Zach Cunningham get into the fold here in the next couple of weeks, I am very interested to see what they do at inside linebacker and how they go about using those four guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to even think about a position group on this team that has a luxury of depth, you know, that abundance of riches, but it's possible. And then, you know, of course, we know Monty Rice, as Shane Bowen told us last week, he's done for the year. So it's good to have four, but you're talking about four guys who could make a case to start. And then, like, how quickly can Zach Cunningham be ready to really make a difference? He does know the defense. I mean, he spent most of his career in this defense, something very close to it. And then what kind of player do you want there? I mean, if you want sort of like a combo of players, you know, like Evans and Brown, Evans and Long, Cunningham and Long, Cunningham and Brown, you know, you wouldn't think you'd ever see like Evans and Cunningham together. But yeah, I mean, I would probably guess it would be Cunningham and Long as your ideal pairing, but I don't know that for sure.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and Jacksonville. The 20-0 win for the Titans yesterday, a shutout performance at home. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including who I think deserves the performance of the game yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fireball.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Fireball. Gentry. Joe Rexo, the performance of the game yesterday for the Titans. The shutout's great. Defensive performance great. All that stuff's nice. It's good to win by 20. Get to 9-4. DeCorey Johnson singing the national anthem to begin the game. Awesome stuff yesterday. The performance of the game from Robbie Stanley goes to DeCorey Johnson singing the national anthem.
He was awesome. He was awesome. I actually got a chance after the game to see him, and I was like, man, you did awesome. He was a nice kid. 9-year-old. Kid from Louisville just tearing it up out there. I mean, like half the Titans team had to go like crowd around him after that anthem.
Yeah, it was awesome to see. Good stuff by him to begin the game yesterday. Joe, your final thoughts on the Titans and the Jags? You get the win, you're 9-4. How should Titans fans feel today on this Monday morning after a 20-point victory against the Jags, given the way you played on defense, but also given what happened on the offensive side of the ball as well?
Well, Phil, hey, it's you can stop the, oh my gosh, this team is going to drop the ball every time they play a bad team. You know, the Texans and Jets games happened, but took care of business, played very good defense, didn't have a big injury. I mean, to me, if there's one big positive to take from this, you know, shutout, good defense, yes, but also I would say, you didn't have a big string of injuries again like you've had in so many other games. Saffold continues to battle what he's battling with his shoulder. That's going to happen all year. Deontay Foreman, we'll see. You know, that's a big deal, I think. You know, can he just come right back? What's up with him? But other than that, Julio Jones got through the game, and you didn't have other stuff, and you should have more guys coming back. So you got to feel good. You're 9-4. You're the 2 seed. You have a magic number of 2 to win the AFC South. And also, in my opinion, if your offense plays like that, you will lose to the Steelers. You will lose to the 49ers, and you may be in a different position when it comes to you may be looking at the Dolphins and Texans and like a lot of pressure on you to win the AFC South and make the playoffs. I mean, this is on the table. So is the 1 seed. I mean, there's a lot of ways this could all go, but I'm confident in saying the offense has to play better. Some of it is no one's fault because Derrick Henry is still out and AJ Brown is out, but you know, the offensive line to me is hugely important. And I don't know how much better it can get, but I know a lot of those guys have played better than this in the past. And they've got to figure out a way to increase their collective performance quite a bit for these next 2 games.
I agree with everything you said. I will say a positive, and I said this Friday, looking into this game, the main thing I'm looking for out of the Titans offense is hold on the ball. And they were able to do that yesterday. They didn't throw an interception. Yeah. They didn't fumble the ball. So it's nice to not be sitting here talking today about Ryan Tannehill throwing 3 picks or you dropping the ball over the place if you're a running back. Now, look, there were moments yesterday where, quite frankly, it was pretty tough to watch the Titans on offense. I mean, they had some drives where it was ugly out there, and that's going to have to get better. There's no question about that. I was encouraged by, even though it is the Jacksonville Jaguars, you didn't turn the ball over yesterday, which is, you know, we know this. It's been a huge issue for them as of late.
No, it's a great point. I mean, look, it's a huge thing. I mean, Vrabel said it yesterday in the post game. He's like, you know, go back through the stats. The stat that's most important when it comes to success, winning, losing this league, is the turnover margin. The Titans are -9 in the previous 2 games. -9. They turned it over 9 times.
9 times.
I hope everybody gets that reference.
Yes.
Michelle, I expect you don't.
And you expect it right, Joe.
I mean, Ferris Bueller's Day Off has got
okay. I have seen that movie. I didn't get the reference. Okay.
I mean, even my kids have seen that. So good. Okay. And then you go to +4 yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, +4. And again, you won 20-0 against a terrible team. So again, you can be a little more pessimistic on the whole thing like I am. But bottom line is you won 20-0. Real quick on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Matthew from Paris, in response to our Vrabel Glennon presser discussion, quote, to me, he's the best coach we've had since Jeff Fisher. I'm glad he is the way he is. He is an awesome coach. The reason we're 9-4 and not 4-9, end quote. Yeah. I mean, look, again, you can like Vrabel, and I think Vrabel has been a very good coach for the Titans, and the Titans should be happy they have him as their coach. And that's fine. And that's still separate from this situation, which is like, you know, it just didn't need to happen. But again, entertainment value? I mean, it provided some entertainment.
We think there's any...
I'm here for it.
Oh, I'm 100% here for it. What do we think happens in Jacksonville this week as the walls continue to cave in on Urban Meyer, which I don't know what my favorite part of yesterday was. Like, looking on the sideline, as somebody texted me earlier, with like 9 minutes left, Urban Meyer had his headset off on the sideline. He's just sitting over there. I'm done. I've had enough. He put it back on eventually. I think the handshake ultimately was my favorite part of yesterday. The Vrabel-Meyer handshake at the end of the game, which was maybe the quickest handshake of all time.
Which I found to be mutually, fast. I mean, yes. I found it to, you know, I mean, it was... It was like boom, drive by on both sides of that.
Yeah, I don't even think Urban Meyer broke stride. Like, I think he was just continuing along. I don't think he ever stopped walking.
Well, I'll tell you what, Urban Meyer at home Sunday, 2-11 Houston, 2-11 Jacksonville.
Oh, what a battle!
And I know. I mean, we can laugh about it and everything, but I tell you what, you can't lose to Davis Mills as bad as you are. You have the number one overall pick against a guy who was overdrafted in Houston and Davis Mills.
Hey.
Like, you can't lose to them. You, like, this is a huge game for Jacksonville.
I'm not going to tolerate
Davis Mills disrespect on this show. You can do that on other shows. You can do that on Stillman, and you can when you're going head-to-head, you will not disrespect Davis Mills in front of me. I saw that coming. So did he, and we don't appreciate it.
Well, it's not a stretch to say he was overdrafted a little bit, okay?
Can you imagine if they lose, that means they'll be swept by the Houston Texans, which I did not think I could – I mean, the Titans, that's technically on the table for them too, but in danger of being swept on Sunday by the Texans, old Urban Meyer.
That's the thing. As bad as it is, you know, and I'm sure it's just pure apathy and Duval right now, but don't lose this game. Have some kind of positivity that you can show people if you do want to keep your job. If you're Urban Meyer and you do want to – I think you said, what, weeks ago after the grope session that you thought he was just going to bag it, right? Yep. Well, actually, you thought he was going to bag it the next week.
Yep.
Maybe he will, but if he wants to keep his job and he wants Shad Khan to continue to believe in him, win this game.
Yes. I bet that crowd's going to be a doozy on Sunday between the Jags and the Texans.
Duval, baby.
They're going to be lined up out there. I'm interested to see how that continues to go this week. It looks like things are crumbling around all Urban down there in Jacksonville. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Make sure you stay tuned for Darren Donica Chase. They'll have your Preds and Titans talk all show long. We'll be back in the morning. Hope everybody has a good rest of their day. Be safe. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.